climate change is reshaping our state in a lot of ways, and I think it's especially true in Wisconsin's Lake Superior Basin. And because of that, we're going to be talking about a program that's helping communities in that area work on climate goals or climate projects. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. With us is Karina Heim. Karina is Coastal Training Program Coordinator at the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve. She works with the Lake Superior Climate Champions team, and we'll talk about that. She'll tell us about how they are helping communities become more climate resistant. And I hope you'll join in. Has your community been affected by changes in climate? Undoubtedly probably has. What questions do you have about the Lake Superior Climate Champions program? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Karina Heim, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it.
Hi, thank you so much for the invitation.
So let's take a broad look here. What are some of the effects of storm and flood damage in the Lake Superior region of Wisconsin, since we're kind of focusing on that?
Yes, well, climate change is really turning everything we have come to know and expect about our world upside down. And some of those impacts that we see, your guests in the first half touched on quite a bit, the wetter times and the more extreme rainfall events that we are experiencing now. So that is certainly one of the impacts that we see to a great extent in northern Wisconsin. This past decade's been Wisconsin's wettest on record, and we can continue to expect into the future an increase in the number of days with these extreme rainfall events. So flooding, wetter times, but also the fact that our temperatures are getting warmer, or as I like to say, less cold, because we're experiencing the warming temperatures to a great degree in the winter time. So we're seeing fewer days with below freezing temperatures and small, less snowpack. And so all of these things really manifest, particularly in the northern region. It can really impact some of the traditions and some of that we have come to expect and engage in the wintertime. And in the Lake Superior region in particular, some of the impacts of climate change mean more extreme fluctuations in water levels on the Big Lake. And so that's manifesting as erosion impacts on the shorelines. And so there are a number of impacts that we're experiencing across the state of Wisconsin, and in particular are impacting the Lake Superior Basin in some really significant ways.
I think the Lake Superior Basin would be particularly vulnerable to a lot of the things you were just talking about.
Yeah. There are some statewide impacts, but certainly there are some unique challenges up here.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the effects on communities in that area?
Yeah, so one thing that we know is that as climate change impacts the way that we experience the world, there are some really significant challenges for communities that are trying to manage and have always needed to manage their infrastructure, their road systems, just simply putting on community events can become more unpredictable and difficult to manage, right? And so what we see, particularly in some of the smaller and more rural areas of northern Wisconsin, is that there's just limited capacity to adapt and change with all of these new impacts that communities are seeing. And so if you can imagine being a smaller, more rural community with a small staff just trying to keep things going on the day-to-day basis, some of these new regimes that we're seeing, whether that's increased flooding or warmer winters, can really disrupt the systems that communities are responsible for managing, and can really become a big challenge for those communities to stay on top of. And so with the Lake Spirit Climate Champions program, we're really trying to address some of those capacity challenges that we see here in northern Wisconsin, just trying to add some extra capacity to these community staffs that are really motivated to work on climate change issues, but they're just trying to keep up with the day-to-day operations as well.
So this Lake Superior Climate Champions program, then, is kind of a helping hand program then.
That's a great way of describing it. So I should mention that my collaborator in all of this is the brilliant colleague of mine, Natalie Chin, who works for Wisconsin Sea Grant. She's their climate and tourism outreach specialist. So she and I really have, a couple years ago, had been observing that, you know, we get involved in climate work a lot up here, often in like being asked to put on workshops or assist with sort of learning events. And what we really were noticing is that those are helpful and can be really impactful, those sort of one-off events. But what we really were observing is that communities really need some folks to come in and just kind of stay in it with them and provide some assistance and some support to stay in it with them with the climate work. So to keep the motivation going and to provide some more resources and help than they would get with on their own. And so that's where the idea for Climate Champions was born. We want to come in and support these teams that have some really great ideas for climate work. They just need a little bit of help to maintain their momentum and maybe some fresh ideas to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah. And a small amount of money.
A small amount of money. Yeah. So each participating team gets a small stipend, $2,500, to maybe spend on some of these great ideas they're putting forward, because it does cost some money when you have great new ideas. So it's not a large check that we're writing, but it's a little bit of funding to put towards some of this work. And we found that is helpful.
Yeah, and you know, you think about it, although there's sort of a general problem area, but then when you start looking at one community versus another community versus another one, there's can be a fair amount of difference.
Certainly, and we found that out even last year. So last year was our pilot year, and we found that we had two very different teams participating in the program with some very different needs, each motivated by a climate-driven impact or some climate challenges, but really needing some different kinds of help from our program.
Karina Heim, our guest today, Karina Heim, is the Coastal Training Program Coordinator at the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve, and talking with her about this Champions program, which I think is really cool. And I actually think it'd be cool to be able to do this in a lot of areas of the state of Wisconsin. And that's why I think it's important for all of us to learn more about it. And we certainly will be learning more about it. Karina will be with us right up until 12:30 today. Right now, you could join in with your questions or thoughts. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email us to ideas@wpr.org. We're going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us, and then we will be back with Karina. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about a program that's helping counties in the northern part of the state deal with the effects of climate change. As I think about it, and I think I mentioned earlier, it's a program I really like, and I think it's one that maybe other parts of the state could take advantage of as well. Our guest will know something about that. Karina Heim is the Coastal Training Program Coordinator at the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve. part of the team involved in the Lake Superior Climate Champions Program. That's the name of it, Lake Superior Climate Champions Program. So has your community been involved with the program? How did it help? What questions do you have about benefiting from the show, from the program? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. I'd love to hear from you. Well, let's talk some more in more detail about the Lake Superior Climate Champions Program, Karina. There are, I think I saw five or six at least goals or ways that the program may be useful to people in those communities.
Yeah, well, we give folks some ideas about how they might, why they might apply to the program and what kind of help they can expect. They might be able to access the program to help them think about their climate planning efforts in the community, how to kickstart some climate change specific implementation actions. Or they might need some help facilitating meetings or difficult conversations in their communities. Or maybe they're looking to build a particular resource or tool. And so, you know, there's a number of ways we kind of suggest folks might access some help from the program. The truth is, we are open to just about any need that communities might have, because what's unique about this program is we're not coming and saying, okay, we have it all laid out for you. We know what to do and we know what you should be doing. The way we kind of frame this program is, you tell us what your climate change goals are or what it is you need help with. And then Natalie and I come in and we say, okay, here are the ways we think we might be able to help you with that. Or maybe we don't know how to do that, but we know someone who does and we can connect you with that person. And we basically stay in it with them for a year and continue to check in and move forward on goals and do some work for those communities. And by the end of the year, they've been able to move forward with whatever it is they came in trying to do.
And you have, I'm trying to think of the number of the names of the counties. I know Ashland, Bayfield. What are the other counties that are?
Douglas and Iron. Yeah, all the Lake Superior adjacent counties are the geography eligibility for this program.
So that's within the counties. What organizations are kind of eligible to apply?
Yeah, so this is a program that we've aimed specifically at a decision maker community. So when we're looking for applications from teams, as we are right now, we're looking for teams of 2 to 4 people, and specifically are looking for teams made up of folks in those sort of community leadership roles. So think elected officials or members of commissions, or folks who are serving in local or tribal government staff. Those folks who are sort of on the front lines of community management and decision making are who we are best equipped to serve in this program. One neat thing is when we started the program, we thought, oh, we're looking for teams from within a single community. And right away, last year, we got a request from a team that said, actually, can we pull together a team from across the 4 counties? And we said, sure, why not?
Sure.
So we've got some flexibility in that. But that's who's eligible.
So this is your second year, Karina. Talk about what happened last year, or the kind of give us some examples and stories about the groups that have already participated.
Yeah, well, when we put this out there last year and asked for some applications, we really didn't know if anyone would want to do this. And we were so pleased when we did get some applications in. And so we were able to work with 2 amazing teams last year on, I think I mentioned earlier, some very different climate goals and challenges. So one of our teams represented a couple of small municipalities in the Shawamigan Bay area. So another cross-jurisdictional team coming together saying, hey, we want to work together on some climate resilience planning in our communities, but we want to do it in a coordinated way with each other. So, and we also, we just need some help developing climate resilience priorities for our publicly adjacent shoreline area. So these two communities have a lot of public Lake Superior shoreline waterfront, and they're specifically looking at what can we do? What should we be doing on those spaces? So what our help looked like over the year, what the program was for them, looked a lot like empowerment. So it looked like a little bit of professional development. We were able to send these staff to a conference to meet with other lakes or other Great Lakes communities who are facing similar challenges and do some connecting and networking. We were able to help provide some tools for them. One of those being a tool called the Flood Resilience Scorecard. It's a tool that a Wisconsin Sea Grant and the State Department of Health have developed together to help communities identify where they might be able to work on some of their flood resilience strategies in the community, some of the lowest hanging fruit anyways. So we worked both of those communities through that scorecard process and were able to get some good outcomes from that. And we also were able to help coordinate a workshop for them to bring in some a specific climate adaptation framework, in addition to a few other things. So it was a little bit of try everything with this mm-hmm. particular community and throw a bunch of different strategies their way. And by the end of the year, they said, hey, we hadn't thought about those things in that way before, and we've moved forward. So that was one team.
and the response from that community sounds like it was pretty positive.
Yeah, it was. It was that sense of like we were able to think about things with more people, so more idea mm-hmm. sharing was able to happen. We were able to think about things and get some extra help from you all to work on our planning efforts because our day-to-day lives are so busy. So it was that sort of like that extra capacity and that sort of cheerleading along the way was really helpful.
And the other group that you work with is a totally different kind of thing.
Very different story, very different request and output. So the other team we work with represented the emergency managers from the four coastal counties up by Lake Superior. So their challenge is that they get to deal with the after effects of the very severe storm events that we've been experiencing over the past decade up here, which again is a feature of the new climate regime that we're in. And this team came in knowing exactly what deliverable they wanted out of the program. They wanted our help to build and field test a road maintenance documentation form for the field crews in their counties. And why is this a climate change issue? Well, it turned out that all of these severe storm events that had resulted in a lot more paperwork and administration for these counties who are seeking federal and state reimbursements for these disaster declarations that were occurring for all the road damage that had happened after these storm events. And they just didn't have a good system in place to document the damages in the way that the federal and state programs needed. And they've had a great idea for a while to build out this form that their crews can use. They just needed someone to do it. And so that's where we came in and we said, sure, we can build this form and we can walk you through field testing it with your counties and continue to work on it until it works for you. And we did that and it turned out that it worked really well. And so they're in there. They have this new tool now that will help them when they have severe storm events. And it's gotten some attention from across the state to other areas in the state saying, hey, that would work for us too. Let's see if we can use something like that too.
That is very, very cool. What do you think is the biggest hurdle for communities to address the problems of climate change?
You know, I really think that a lot of the communities, at least the ones that I work with up here, they're very knowledgeable about climate change. So it's not a matter of education or information. And they're very motivated because they see how it impacts their communities and have to deal with the impacts. What I think the biggest hurdle is not having enough time and capacity to respond to some of these new regimes and new challenges that climate change is bringing. So I think from my observation, it's just needing more people, more capacity, more time, and yes, more funding to address these really massive challenges that are overhauling the way we've done things for a long time.
Yeah. You know, you think about the communities, many of the communities in northern Wisconsin and in those counties, they're small communities. I mean, compared to Madison or Milwaukee or whatever. And so, and this, you've got, I would say, lean staffs would be...
Right. I think that's fair.
A way to put it. So... you're right. I think the capacity is, I mean, the interest and the desire is there, but there's only 24 hours in the day. And if you have a small staff to begin with, this kind of help would be really important.
Yeah. I mean, that is the whole premise that we're operating on in this program. And also, you know, it's helpful to know that there are others out there facing these challenges too. And so the other neat thing about this program model is, you know, we had two teams last year. We hope to have at least that many this year. And what happens is they start the program together in a cohort. And so they get to benefit from each other's knowledge and solidarity in these challenges too. And so we can't ask too much of these folks time, but we do have them have come to a kickoff event all together as a cohort and meet again in the middle and at the end so that we can have that sort of community building aspect of, hey, these are really big challenges and they're being experienced by others as well. So what can we share with each other and learn from each other's experiences too?
And so the application, we haven't talked about that. We need to talk about that. The the application process today, you know, is February 15th. And the application is March 15th, the deadline, if I'm not mistaken. So it's only a month away, but there's still time, I'm sure, in your mind, for people to get applications in. Let's talk about that application process.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it is one of the simpler applications you might do in your life. It's way easier than doing your taxes, I can promise that. Yes, due on March 15th are the applications to participate in our second cohort year of Climate Champions. And you can find probably the easiest way to find that application is if you go to the Reserve's website at lakesuperiornerr.org, so lakesuperiorner.org, and search on our site for Climate Champions. We've got a whole page about this program, and the application form can be found there. And before you apply, you might want to have a sense of who your team members are and what at least the start of an idea of what you would like to work on in the program year. We can refine that once you're in, right? But that's what you'd want to bring to the table. And you can always reach out to Natalie and I. We're happy to have sort of a pre-meeting to discuss your ideas before you take the time to apply.
And so you want the names of the people who probably that are going to be involved, anywhere from 2 to 4, sounds like.
Yep. And be prepared to share a little bit about what, if any, climate action or climate work your community has engaged in thus far. And again, this is aimed at the sort of the community leadership audience. So we're asking about things like climate planning efforts or implementing action plans, things like that. Know that you don't have to have engaged in any of these things to participate in the program. We're just trying to get a sense of where you're at. Yeah.
And so, and I think there were like three things that you're providing sort of in a way. One was tech support.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then what were the other two? One was flexibility and the other, I've forgotten the other one.
Yeah, so the technical support for the year is the big sell here. That opportunity to connect with other communities in that cohort structure is the other piece. And then we flexibility to determine what goals you want to work on. So in other words, when you're entering this program, it's not us telling you what to do. It's you telling us what you need help with. And then we will work with you and your schedule and your needs to try to meet them. Yes.
So to me, this sounds like it's almost like a no-brainer, but somebody might look at this and say, oh my gosh, it sounds good, but oh, I've got so much to do already.
Right. Right. The very challenge we know that communities are facing, right? So what I would say to that is there is a bit of a time commitment involved, but we really try to be mindful about what we're asking. And so what you can expect if participating in the program is that you're going to meet with us once a month. It can be more. We can have more touch points than that, but it can be as little as a once a month meeting. And then Natalie and I do some work and we meet with you again next month and we make sure that we keep the momentum going. So once a month meetings are what we're asking. And if you have the time to give more and you're motivated to give more, we can do more.
And then there's three meetings over the course of the year. There's the beginning, you know, let's yes. get started. And then I like mm-hmm. the fact that there's a sort of a in the middle around December or so, you're taking another. So, okay, where are we? Are we meeting our goals for this?
Yeah, that's a new addition this year, actually, because we heard from our program participants in the first year that they would have liked more time to connect with each other. We thought, oh, these teams are so different. We, you know, maybe we can just let them go. And they told us that it was great and they would have liked to have connected with each other. So we added in, we're going to try to add in that middle meeting.
You know, just as an aside, I talked with Luciana Rinelli and I think Deanna Erickson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two of my colleagues here at the reserve. Yep.
Yeah, and the Lake Superior. I just wanted to mention this again because I love the concept of the whole of the Lake Superior estuary. Just talk for a minute about that.
Yeah, about the reserve itself. Thanks for asking. So I'm very lucky to work at the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve, which is one of 30 reserves across the country designated as a Centers for Research, Outreach, Education, and Stewardship. Designated are these really special places where two bodies of water come together and meet and mix. And for us, that's where the St. Louis River and Lake Superior come together. And those waters mix and create really rich habitat and important places for people and has done so for a long time. So we get to be a part of this amazing national system. In addition to the programs I do, we reach over 2,000 K-12 students and their teachers every year. We run 20 to 30 unique programs annually. We lead and facilitate in restoration and community engagement. So we are also a small, lean staff doing a lot of different things.
There's research involved, too.
Yes, there is. We're a great place to do research. We've got a waterfront location, right? A dock, right? I'm looking at it right now. And so it's really easy for folks to get out on the water, home based here. We've got about 17,000 acres of public lands within our boundary. And so it's a great place. And we're keeping tabs on water quality in the estuary. And we've got just a lot going on. It's doing a lot to try to understand and connect people to this place.
Yeah, it seems like a wonderful operation. And you're right, it's a pretty small staff to be doing as many of the things that you're doing for sure. Well, and give us again, I want to go back, though, to this Champions program. Lake Superior Climate Champions, I should put that in. I think if you put that in a search engine, it'd probably pop right up. But
it probably would, but just in case, you can go to lakesuperiornerr.org. That's the Lake Superior Reserve's website. And then just type in the search bar on that page, Climate Champions, and you'll pull the program page right up.
And I hope you get a bunch of applications for this, Karina. It sounds like such a great program, and it sounds like it's actually from at least last year that it's carrying over to other parts of the state, at least the one project.
Right. We sometimes see those statewide impacts. Things can grow. So,
well,
yes.
Thank you again so much. And I look forward to talking to you again, Karina. Thank you very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Karina Heim is the Coastal Training Program Coordinator at the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve, and talking about the Lake Superior Climate Champions Program. You're in one of those counties. If you're in one of those counties, I hope you will take a look at it and apply. Sounds like a wonderful program. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.